Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sup with the 90s, episode 10 of our podcast. I am Jaime Aparicio, and I'm joined with
Diana Juarez.
And today is very, very special because we'll be talking about Fox Kids programming. So we'll be talking about X-Men, the animated series, Spider-Man, the animated series, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, and Bobby's World, for anybody who remembers that one.
I don't know why you wouldn't remember that one. That one was a great cartoon.
I'm sure there's like a group of people out there that are like, wait, Howie Mandel hosted a cartoon?
Yeah, he hosted and wrote and voiced. Not the whole cartoon, obviously, because there were other characters, but he did voice the dad and the main character, so.
Am I in trouble?
No, you're late.
Does that mean I don't have time for a song before the show starts?
Seeing as though we were talking about Bobby already, let's just stick with that one in.
All right, we'll start with Bobby then.
Bobby's World, the generic family.
Generic.
Yeah, a running gag throughout the whole show would be that whoever delivered mail to them or their neighbors, whatever, they would always mispronounce their last name saying generic.
Bobby was, what, 5 years old? He was in kindergarten. He had two older siblings, Derek and Kelly. He had an Aunt Ruth, Uncle Ted, who was a giant goofball. He kind of reminded me of Joey from Full House. Yeah, and that goofiness.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say Joey from Friends.
No, I didn't watch that show, so.
Okay.
Bobby's World is about this little boy who has a very active imagination. And any little aspect that happened in his life, he would instantly go into his head and create this whole little world about the incident itself. You know, he had his stuffed animal, Mr. Wibbly, that was a spider, usually helped him get out of trouble by, he would use it, you know, as a grappling hook to get out. Yeah, he had Captain Squash, that was his favorite action hero, and Roger, his dog. I don't know what kind of dog he was, but he was giant and fluffy. I don't know, some of the episodes that I remember the most is when he went to the public pool with his brother, and he almost drowns because he goes up on the diving board.
It didn't take long.
And obviously right away he goes into his head and he's like singing the song. He creates this whole song in his head.
Look at my face. I'm not smiling. I'm frowning. That's because a minute ago I was almost drowning. I really like living and I don't want to blow it. But I climbed on a diving board and jumped off and didn't even know it. Hit it, Mark. Now! I was at the bottom of the pool. I don't recall how long. I guess it must have been a while. Cause I had time to write the song.
Do you remember any episodes? Any episodes that you enjoyed?
Yeah, the only one I remember was when Derek, Kelly, and Bobby were left home alone on a rainy, stormy night. And I guess all of their imaginations gets the best of them. Because throughout the rest of the night, they're just picturing themselves being chased by like a hockey-masked serial killer with a chainsaw. And it's just them freaking out from room to room. And it sort of resembles like a Scooby-Doo episode.
Right.
Where they're just like running back and forth between rooms and all that. And you just see the masked killer chasing after them. But yeah, I completely forgot how it ends. But like the main part of them is just like freaking out when they're home alone.
Yeah. Which is funny because Kelly and Derek hated having to babysit him. Like, they loved him, but they hated because he's little.
Right.
Kelly was already in high school. Derek, I think, middle school or something like that. And Bobby was a little boy. He was a kindergartner. So they hated having to stay with him because he's just an annoying little boy.
Yeah, typical teenage behavior.
Right. you know, but they would randomly have moments where they actually showed they cared. That's why Bobby spent so much time in his head, because his siblings were older. Mm-hmm. And so he only really played with himself. Oh, and his neighbor Jackie, who was in love with him. Mm-hmm. And she was always trying to kiss him, and it was always grossing him out.
Right.
See you later, Bobby.
Yuck!
You're so cute when you're angry, Bobby.
Oh, what else? I don't know. I could ramble on about Bobby's World for forever, but we have three other cartoons to talk about, so...
Three awesome shows.
Yes, okay, three awesome shows to talk about, because I did love the other three as well.
And honestly, it's really tough to choose, but... Well, I guess we'll just stick with cartoons, and then we'll save the live-action one for last.
Okay.
We'll just start
Spider-Man.
Off... Spider-Man. Yeah, for anyone who knows me in school or whatnot, I'm a really big Spider-Man fan, so...
Such a nerd.
Yeah, I admit. So, watching Spider-Man growing up on Saturday mornings was a really big deal for me. This was, like, one of the first shows ever that I watched continuously to see what would happen.
Saturday morning Fox cartoons were my favorite too, and I had to watch Spider-Man, and I had to watch X-Men. Mm-hmm. And Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, so I'm on the same boat. Spider-Man was a great one.
And for people who don't know, the intro was actually played, the famously guitar the whole guitar was played by Joe Perry from Aerosmith.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Yeah.
I think we might have mentioned this on the first episode. I think you brought it up on the first episode because I was mentioning intro songs to 90s cartoons.
Oh, okay.
I forgot again, so.
Okay. But yeah, like I said, Spider-Man was like one of the first serialized shows that I continuously watched to see what would happen. And one of the more famous arcs that I remember watching the most was the Venom saga.
Yeah, yeah.
And... unfortunately, when they got to Carnage, who was introduced later on in, mm-hmm. like, maybe a few more seasons afterwards, I had missed, like, the last episode where him and Venom team up to take him on because he was too powerful for each one of them individually.
Because Carnage was too strong for them, right?
Right.
Right, okay.
And I remember being so bummed out. So, like, obviously, they would play him in reruns later mm-hmm. on, and I had to wait until then to see... see what would happen.
Okay, but imagine kids now have no idea what it's like to have to wait for reruns if you missed an episode one Saturday.
And because these played Saturday morning, back then my older siblings still lived with us. So Saturday mornings, it would sort of be like a free-for-all to see...
whoever got to the remote first.
Exactly. So if I was lucky enough to wake up first, I would be able to watch my shows or whatever I wanted to watch.
Yeah. Otherwise, you were SOL.
If not, I had to just sit back and wait my turn while my older siblings watched their MTV or VH1 or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Kids these days don't know. Or when you have to wait for a commercial break.
Oh, yeah.
And you, like, book it to get snacks or use the restroom or whatever.
But I think back then it was obviously a lot more tolerable because, one, we had to sit through them. And, yeah. Two, it sort of built up the anticipation of, like, what would happen after the break. Yeah.
There was no binging.
Yeah.
Anything. So kids these days don't know the pain of having to wait a week or then the whole season ends and then it's not back until the next season.
Fun fact, do you remember the character Madame Web?
Yes.
Did you know that she was voiced by Stan Lee's wife?
Spider-Man, it's time to go.
Who is that exotic lady?
Oh, her? Now she's my ride.
I did not know that.
Oh. Yeah. And sticking with Stan Lee, I think it's the very last episode of the series where Spider-Man has to, like, travel through different dimensions to fight this big threat. One of the Spider-Mans actually takes, like, the main Spider-Man, the hero, to an alternate dimension where he meets Stan Lee himself.
I don't believe what you're telling me. In your reality, I'm a character in fiction?
Yep, and I'm an actor who plays you on TV. But there's someone here I knew you had to meet. He's the man who created you for fans all over the world.
And I said to Jack, what if his skin turns green?
Excuse me. I'm looking for some guy named Stan Lee.
What? Spider-Man? Pam, hold my calls for a while. I think I've finally gone crazy.
Of course, the rest of his villains I remember watching and just, you know... Other than Batman, I think Spider-Man has, like, the best rogues gallery out of any superhero.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. I really, really, really enjoyed X-Men. That cartoon was so dramatic and action-packed, and it had everything.
Another cartoon series back then that really relied on, like, story arcs.
Yeah, it was plot-heavy.
Yeah.
It rarely had fillers. I mean, I'm sure it had fillers, but because they're fillers, I don't remember them. But the plots were so well-written and interconnected, and it was amazing. I don't know. I don't watch cartoons now, so I don't know if they have the same quality of writing.
Some do, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm sure there will be. Mm-hmm. But that cartoon was just amazing. And I wish I had seen more of it or rewatched episodes, because I'm really bad at remembering in chronological order.
Mm-hmm.
But that cartoon, I had to watch it every weekend. I didn't care what else was going on. I had to watch it.
Like, a big story arc that I'm pretty sure a lot of fans would remember was, of course, the Phoenix Saga.
Yeah.
When the X-Men travel up to space for some mission or whatever.
And Jean.
And, of course, Jean being the... I always thought she was... Other than psychic, I thought she was always, like, really dramatic. Like the
she
most,
was.
Yeah. Jean ended up getting possessed by the Phoenix Force. And, of course, the X-Men had a... battle her because she ended up getting all, well, I don't want to say emo or hardcore.
Well, she was just too strong and she couldn't control her powers, and it was a risk, so they had to do something about her.
Yeah, but that was like one of the more famous story arcs from X-Men. And then, of course, them battling, like, the Sentinels were always cool to see them fight against.
Yeah.
Mystique, the mutants that were living underground.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're called the Marauders or something like that. Something with an M.
Marauders? I don't remember.
Yeah.
Let's not ask me for names, because I'm never gonna remember.
But one cool villain that I definitely loved them fighting against, because they always seem to get their butts kicked, was, of course, Apocalypse.
The old world passes away. Together, we shall forge a new one in fire and blood. Evil mutant, you dare challenge Apocalypse again? Blasphemer!
I loved and hated that arc because...
Well, I think he had multiple story arcs, because he was like a continuous villain that he would like pop out here and there.
Right. Well, they all blur into one, so I just assume it's one very long arc.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I will never get over when they showed that it was Gambit's fault.
Mm-hmm.
I felt so betrayed. I'm like, that is not Gambit. Gambit would never do this.
First, I totally fell for it. But then, of course, you realize that there is a shape-shifting mutant.
It was Mystique.
Yeah. Her disguising herself as Gambit. And then Bishop coming in from the future, other than Cable, who's another time-traveling mutant. That also appeared in the show is also cool.
And for those of you that are wondering, yes, it is the same Cable that shows up on Deadpool 2. Cable.
But yeah, of course.
Different voice actor, different actor, but that character.
And I'm surprised they didn't, speaking of which, I'm surprised they didn't include Deadpool in the animated series.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah, they practically included every other mutant.
Every other comic book, Marvel comic book hero.
Except for Deadpool. Either if they did, he'd probably appear like somewhere in the background or whatever, but I don't
But it was remember. Never like a predominant role
in
any of it.
They didn't feature him as like a talking
You know
character.
Who I would have preferred they get rid of? Jubilee. I would have rather have Deadpool than Jubilee.
I actually didn't mind her. Of course, she was a little annoying at first because, you know, she had to get used to her powers. And if anything, I think she's the first mutant ever to be introduced in the show.
She was. She was at the arcade or something?
Yeah, she was in the arcade, and then she bumps into Gambit buying a deck of cards, of course.
Of course.
And yeah, that's when she gets attacked by the Sentinels.
And then she uses her little sparklers.
Or tries to.
Tries to use but her then, little sparklers.
Yeah.
Although I would invite her to a 4th of July barbecue.
One
or any birthday celebration.
One episode, actually, where she did come in very handy was when they ended up bringing in Sabretooth to heal him from his wounds because he got attacked by some protesting group or whatever.
Were they humans? Normal humans? Okay.
So, yeah, of course, Professor X feeling sorry for him. They brought him in, you know, to
treat
heal
him.
Yeah, to treat him and whatever. And then, of course, when Wolverine gets word of this, he gets so pissed off that he wants to kill him right there and there while he's still unconscious. But, of course, Professor X and Cyclops...
He would never allow it.
They stop him. But then when they leave, Wolverine comes back and tries to kill him again. But by that time, Sabretooth had already healed because of his powers and all.
Right.
So them two go at it, like, somewhere near the danger room or whatever. But Sabretooth ends up getting, like, the upper hand. Mm-hmm. And he's about to do the killing blow. But Jubilee comes out of nowhere and actually saves Wolverine.
Did she shoot sparklers at his face?
Yeah, she blasts him, like, through a wall or something
Wow, her sparklers are stronger than I remember.
Yeah. Well, I guess it depends on her... her
anger level?
Yeah, her emotion.
Yeah. I hate that, though. Okay, look, I love the X-Men, but I hate that they use the control over your feelings as to whether or not you lose control of your powers.
Uh-huh.
I don't like that.
Well, I mean, it would make sense, right? It's like, if you get angry, you can't control your emotions or you lose track of, like, what you're doing. And then...
I know it does. I know it makes sense. I just hate it. I hate it, okay? They could have... I don't know.
Anything. It's real life issues.
I know, which is why I loved that cartoon.
All the more relatable.
Yeah. Get angry, throw a glass across the table.
But yeah, before finishing off with X-Men, who would you say was your favorite character?
Gambit.
Okay, yeah. I would back then it was Gambit because, of course, like, he was the, like, cool looking. Of course, Wolverine was always like a...
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I really liked Gambit. I really liked Wolverine, Rogue, Storm. From the quote-unquote bad guys, I would have to say Magneto.
Yeah.
I couldn't stand Jubilee. I just really hated the arc where Rogue and Angel were a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just crying the whole time.
Was this before he got transformed into Archangel? It might have been Mystique helping Angel manipulate Rogue or whatever, because she was really, you know, into
emotionally,
that.
Yeah, and Rogue was emotionally vulnerable.
Yeah.
And Gambit was forever, flirting with her.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted them to be together.
I think right now in the comics, they finally got them back together. But, yeah, it's Rogue and Gambit are, like, one of the more famous comic book couples of all time.
Yeah, I didn't like Jean and Cyclops.
Overall, X-Men was another pretty cool...
cartoon.
Cartoon growing up watching. But to finally get to our last topic of the day is Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Yes.
Which I remember when it barely debuted, I was like, what the hell is this all about? But once I got into it, I was like, all for it.
Absolutely. I think one of my favorite things about watching Power Rangers Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Well, I mean, I'll just refer to them as the Power Rangers. I didn't watch any other reiteration of it. I didn't.
And might I add, it's still going on, like the Power Ranger brand.
Yeah, I know.
It's still going on to this day.
Sadly. I don't understand why. I mean, I understand why, but yeah. I don't.
I mean, it's probably because, like, each season or each core group has its own audience. Sort of like the Star Wars movies, like the prequels have their fans, the original trilogy has their fans. Even the newer trilogy has its fans.
Right.
So I guess it's the same for
Power
Rangers.
How do you feel about the new trilogy, really?
That's a whole different... we'll say that for another podcast.
We'll talk about Star Wars in another podcast?
Yeah, pretty much. Growing up in the 90s watching Star Wars, but yeah.
All right. Fine. I won't derail this anymore.
So at the top of your head, can you name all the original members?
Zach, Kimberly, Billy, Trini, Jason, Tommy, I guess. Does he count as an original?
I would say so.
All right, then Tommy.
Yeah, it was sort of like, I guess, prophesized that there would always be like a sixth...
member joining or something.
Yeah, like a sixth Power Ranger.
Right.
But of course, Rita had the Green Ranger coin. But because she would always fail or whatever, she finally decided to get someone to wield the sixth power coin. So mm-hmm. That's when Tommy came in. And that's another story arc from my childhood that I remember really being into because, you know, till that up until that point, the Power Rangers, of course, would always defeat Rita's monsters left and right. But when they got to introducing the Green Ranger, that episode where he kicks all of their butts was like, whoa, you know, Rita finally found someone to go toe-to-toe with the Power Rangers.
Yeah. I honestly, at first, did not like Tommy. I thought he was just so annoying. But then I ended up liking him more than the other ones.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if anything, he was the coolest one.
He definitely was the coolest one.
Not only did he have, like, the coolest Zord, but he also had, like, the coolest costume, the coolest weapon, which I might add, I tried so hard getting what I'm growing up, but I never actually had my own Dragon Dagger.
My brother had the Dragon Dagger. He had the Dragon Dagger and he had the gloves, which both of I kidnapped. They were mine. I mean, they bought it for him, but they were mine.
Okay.
And I had them.
So, yeah, I was always trying to find a Dragon Dagger. And I remember one instance where me and one of my cousins found out that there was actually, like, a sweepstakes going on TV where you had to, like, send in, like, proof of purchases or whatever. But the main prize, the grand prize, was a Dragon Dagger. And I remember us entering it, like, so much that I thought, oh, I'm definitely going to win it. But then, as of course, like, weeks went by, and, like, yeah, maybe it's,
maybe not.
No, yeah, in between me and one of my other cousins, we have, like, the first several original Megazords. Like, he would have the original one, and then I would have, like, the Thunder Megazord. We both had the Ninja's Megazord. I had the Tiger Zord, and then, like, so on and so forth.
I don't know any of those. But I'm sure, were they just as big as the original?
Oh, yeah.
The original one went like 2 feet, 3 feet tall?
I have no idea, but it's a pretty good size.
Yeah, it was pretty tall.
But yeah, I just remember him, like the last Megazord that my cousin ended up getting was like maybe the Zeo one?
No idea.
Up until, before they started driving cars.
They drove cars.
Yeah, as far as the whole Turbo series.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I've heard the name, but I didn't watch.
And I remember wanting that one, too, even though it was sort of cheesy.
Sort of?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Super.
But, yeah, the whole toys or whatever. Like, my sister had the Pink Ranger's gloves. I just had the Megazords.
I didn't like the Pink Ranger.
Yeah, and even, like, to this day, I'm still the pink color is still reserved for, of course, a female ranger.
Yeah. But really?
I think
Boo.
So. But it's only the yellow color that that has been switched.
Gendered, yeah. I mean, slow but steady wins the race, I guess.
Which originally, fun
whatever.
Fact, the whole Mighty Morphin Power Rangers was based off of, like, a original Japanese show.
Right.
And in that one, the Yellow Ranger was a boy.
Oh.
And so I don't know if you've ever noticed that in Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the Pink Ranger did have a skirt.
Yeah.
But the Yellow Ranger didn't.
Right.
Or her bosom wasn't as apparent as the Pink Ranger's.
That's true. Yeah, I do remember.
So I guess they just decided to switch genders for the American version.
Right. And I had no idea that this was originally a Japanese show
and it's
until
hardcore.
I was an adult.
Like, if you have time, like, it's pretty hardcore.
It's not as cheesy as the American version?
I mean, it's just as cheesy.
Oh, okay.
But because it's more martial arts heavy in the right. Japanese version, they fight a lot more, like, in their regular, without their power suits on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, especially the whole Green Ranger arc where, yeah.
The Green Ranger arc was pretty cool.
Yeah.
The American version. So I'd be interested in watching the Japanese version just to see how intense it gets.
Uh-huh. And of course, like, all the... In the American version, all the footage of them fighting in their... Well,
suits.
Most of the suit footage. And then, of course, the Zord footage was all...
The Japanese...
Taken from the Japanese version.
Mm. I think the part of the Power Rangers that I... found the most funny were always the monsters.
I just remember a giant pig and a giant frog. Do you remember Scorpina?
I remember the name. Okay. How about that?
She was one of the tougher enemies that the Power Rangers had to face.
Other than Tommy.
Yeah.
I just hated how they forced... Well, I feel like it was forced. Because I didn't care to see no romantic story between the Rangers. So I wasn't that thrilled when Tommy and Kimberly got together.
If anything, I pictured everyone watching that episode applauding or something. Like, oh my god, they finally kissed. Because I think it was building up for...
It was. And when I realized what was happening, I'm like, no. Why? Just leave them alone.
Yeah. And if anything, it was only Tommy and Kimberly that, you know...
Yeah.
We're a couple. Of course, I remember Zach always flirting with, like, an occasional, a girl.
Yeah.
Occasionally here and there.
But for the most part, they didn't delve into love lives.
Yeah.
Until Tommy and Kimberly. Which is stupid. I still think it's stupid.
But, of course, it didn't last because for reasons or whatever. I was always a fan of the Blue Ranger because back then my favorite color was, of course, blue.
Same.
But yeah, at first I always thought he was a little annoying, but as his character grew with the rest of the team, like, I really grew fond of him. And then when I found out that it was being teased that he was going to be either the White Ranger or the Gold Zeo Ranger, I was, like, really pumped up for him to, you know, get either one of those two powers. But of course, you know, they ended up going to other Rangers.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, I mean, I love Tommy and he was definitely cool.
Mm-hmm.
But why did he get to have everything?
But I definitely prefer him as the Green Ranger.
Same.
Yeah. And plus it's the cooler Zord. You know, who wouldn't want a dragon as a Zord?
Exactly. What was the white one? A tiger? A saber-tooth?
Yeah.
No, not a saber-tooth because that was Journey.
It was just a white tiger.
It was a white tiger. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about Power Rangers and I think we forgot two of the most...
prominent figures in their history.
Yeah. Alpha...
5.
Alpha 5. My bad. Excuse
Don't
me.
Don't forget the number.
Alpha 5 and Zordon.
Of course, like their Yoda.
I am Zordon, an interdimensional being caught in a time warp.
And my name is Alpha 5.
Quick question, did you see the live action movie, the first one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
But I guess to finish off with Power Rangers, I guess like the last major villain that I remember watching was Lord Zedd, which was above Rita in like command.
Yeah,
after that, it just seemed to go downhill.
Yeah, I stopped watching after that.
Okay.
The putties were weird.
Uh-huh.
When it was Lord Zedd, they had the Z on their chest, right? In that circle.
And that was their weak point. They had to strike that in order to blow them up.
Which, terrible design. Giant circle on your chest is your weak spot.
Right. Might as well be a huge target.
So, we'll just have to wrap it up there. Because on top of this having been really long already, it is also our last episode for our radio class. We hope you've enjoyed listening to our rambling. We've enjoyed recording it. I don't know. Do you want to continue? I want to continue. This has been fun.
No, yeah. But this time, like, we'll try to have a lot more guests with more knowledge on our topics and
because even though Jaime remembers a lot of stuff, I don't remember a lot of stuff. Even though Jaime remembers a lot of stuff, it's really nice to have a third person to bounce ideas off of.
Right.
So please hit us up. Let us know if there's anything in particular you want to cover. Otherwise, you're going to get like 10 Simpsons episodes and like 20 X-Men episodes. And we'll just break down our favorite arcs from each show. But it's been fun. I really enjoyed recording this with you, Jaime.
Same here.
And we'll have to figure out a schedule or something to keep this going. But for now, this has been Sup with the 90s. We are your hosts, Diana Juarez and
Jaime Aparicio.
And we'll see you guys around.
Bye.
Bye.